came up, church.
Before I get started with my message this morning, I want to mention to you about your pastor. I thought about Brother Roger this morning. There's not a doubt in my mind that his mind is on this church right now. There's no doubt in my mind. And I thought that the concern that a pastor has to have for his church, I've been down that road, and I know a little bit, just a little about it. And although he's not with us, he's still responsible because this is his flock.
Yes.
And that's why pastors do have a hard time sometimes finding people to fill in or be in the pulpit.
Yeah.
Because I know pastors that has destroyed themselves by allowing people to come in that they didn't know very well. And then I thought about that when Brother Larry was talking about, I think he said it was his sister having a hard time finding a church that suitable for her. You ought to appreciate your church if you love it and it's preaching the truth and you're standing upon God's principles, because it's not every door that swings open that you can hear the gospel preached today.
Amen. That's right.
I thought about one time my dad, that's gone to be with the Lord. A fella told him about a preacher that wanted to come and preach at his church. And dad told him to come ahead. And he got up in the pulpit. He hadn't been preaching very long. He said God wasn't born in a manger. Dad in Bethlehem said he was born under a sycamore tree. I looked over and we didn't have padded seats. We had the old hard seats, and my dad was sitting there with his hand over his brow. He was pecking on a seat. When service was over, we went outside. He said, "Boy, I messed up, didn't I?" And I said, "Well, Dad, that's what you get for taking everybody's word about everybody else. You ought to know, really, the people that you allow in your stand to preach." And that's a fact. Because a pastor can labor for years with his congregation, and a black sheep can come in and destroy it all in just a little while. And so I'm glad to be here, and I don't want to tear anything down that your pastor has built up. I want to be a help. And I hope if I say anything this morning, it'll be the truth. That's one of the things I want to talk about this morning, is the truth. The truth will set us free. And if it's not the truth, God will never honor it. I don't care how eloquent people speak, how smart they think they are, or how much knowledge they believe they have. If they're not speaking the truth, they're wasting God's time, your time, and their own time.
Amen.
So I'm glad to be here this morning. Truly I am. And I want to say one more thing. Sometimes when we get up to sing, I know sometimes we have to start our songs over. I used to get excited in revival, and it'd come on me that I wanted to sing a little song, and I'd be so worked up in the Holy Spirit, I'd pitch that thing about 2 or 3 octaves higher than I could control. I'd have to start it over, and I'd have to slow down and start it over. So it reminds me of the story once that I heard. A little boy was standing on a street corner, and he was shooting his BB gun, just firing it away in the air. Policeman came down the street, and he said, "Son, what are you shooting at?" He said, "The moon." He said, "You shooting at the moon?" He said, "You can't hit the moon with that BB gun." He said, "I'll come a lot closer than you will, because at least I'm trying." So if you're trying, and you're doing for the Lord the best that you can do, little as much if God is in it. It's not always how pretty it sounds, but God's looking in the heart. God's looking in the heart. And that's what we have to be aware of this morning, that God loves humbleness, and God will bless people that is honest in their heart. So I do ask you to pray for Brother Roger, and I hope that whatever I preach doesn't be wearisome to him. I know that it won't if it's the truth, because I believe that he loves the truth like that I love the truth. But I want to talk to you this morning a little while about how many things do you reckon that you believe that actually you believe it because some preacher preached it? Or you believe it because mom and dad taught it? I had a woman tell me one time, I was talking about eating frog legs. And I don't know if you've ever ate frog legs, but they're good. They taste better than fried chicken. And they're good. And she said, well, it's a sin to eat frog legs. And aren't you afraid that you'll die and go to hell if you eat those frog legs? And somebody had taught her that eating frog legs was a sin. I said, honey, the only sin I can see in eating frog legs is if you sit there and go out and eat too many. But I don't see anything wrong with eating frog legs. So people believe myths, and they believe things that the Bible does not teach. And we're living in a time where people believe so many different things. Now, I can't make you believe the truth. I can preach you the truth, but I cannot make you believe the truth. And Jesus came to this world, and he didn't try to make people, he tried to tell people the truth, but he never used the power that he could have to force the truth upon people. That's something that you have to want yourself. Yeah. It's the truth. So I wonder this morning, I know you've heard the prodigal son preached on many times. I have. I've heard it preached every way it can be preached. And very few men of God in my lifetime have stood and preached that message and the example that God gave in Scripture, the prodigal son, like it should be preached. In the first place, when the young man went to his father and asked him that he wanted whatever it was that was bestowed to him, he wanted his goods. The Bible plainly states there that he gave to them. He didn't only give to the youngest son, but he gave the oldest son his portion too. Now, if you go back and read in the old Bible, you'd know why that the father gave the oldest son his portion too that day. You would know that. And then another thing that I've heard preached so many times, and I know you have, young preachers especially, they like to get people's attention, and they talk about how that young man got down in that far country and got out there in a hog pen. I want to say this morning, you read it and you'll see if I'm telling you the truth or not. I don't even know if they had hog pens back in that day or not, but he was out in a field where there was swine. And what he done, he spent what he had on righteous living. A famine hit the land, and he become to be in want. A man offered him a job to go out in the fields and feed swine, and he went out in the field where the swine was. And then they said he got down there and lived with the hogs and ate with the hogs. Children, it's not so. Yes, it is. No, it's not. No, it's not. Well, yes, it is, preacher. No, it's not. He did not go down there in the field and begin to act like a hog. He did not get in a hog pen. He was in the field. The Bible says that he would have ate the husk that the hogs ate, except that he came to himself. Yeah. When he came to himself, like I did one time back about 60 years ago, I was sitting in church and I came to myself and realized that I was at the end of my road, that there's nothing I could do to better my life, and came to know the Lord Jesus Christ. He came to himself and went back to his father, knowing that his father would take care of him. So you hear all these myths preached, and there's no truth in them. But it sounds good. Some preacher preached it and somebody believed it, and then people pass it on. I've heard people say, oh, Peter could have walked on water had his faith not gotten weak. Well, I want you to know this morning, children, in the presence of Almighty God, Peter did walk on water. Sure, his faith wavered for a moment of time. But if people would stop and think, how was it that Peter went out to Christ and they both ended back up in the boat? How do you think Peter got over there if he didn't walk with the Lord? So, you hear so many things Peter could have. I want you to know that he did. And I said a long time ago, when those 600 plus thousand children of Israel crossed the Red Sea, I believe it's just exactly like the Bible says that it is. I believe when they got over on the other side, there was not one speck of mud on anybody's foot.
That's right.
They went dry shod across. But if I would have read in the Bible that God put them in a 1 gallon bucket and put a cork on it or a bottle and corked it up and sent them across, I would believe it, because with God there's nothing impossible. We need to believe what God says. We need to believe what God says. I'm going to read a little bit. You pray. And you pay attention to the reading. There's something that's really been bothering me for a long time. And I want to touch upon it this morning, and I told Roger about it. And I want to touch on it. When I was a boy, growing up, they used to have these gospel music crusades. And the men would get all their drums and guitars and all the musical instruments, tambourines, and they'd get out anywhere that they could rent a place, or where they sometimes go on the road or in a tent. They began to play this music. Women would begin to dance. They'd dance till they couldn't stand on their feet any longer, and then they'd finally roll over. And they had a big stack of blankets there. When I first saw, the first one I ever saw, well, to be truthful, it was about the only one I ever saw, and I'll tell you why in just a minute. But they'd grab them blankets when them women would pass out. They'd still try to kick. They had to cover them with them blankets to hold them down. That was a big movement in this country when I was a boy. When I went home and told my mom why I said that's the only one I ever saw, she got her a big black belt, and she come in there, and she shook that thing in my face, and she said, son, if I ever hear of you going to another one of them, I'll strip the hide off of your back. You've got no business over there. Yeah. So, and she meant what she said. I knew Mom well enough to know she meant what she said. So I remember those things. I remember when people used to fast. One man fasted one time and climbed a tree, and he went too far till he tore his system up and he died. They used to handle snakes. Back when I was a boy, they'd handle snakes in church. And they'd say it was a test of faith. And then came along a little later, people began to be slain in the spirit. I know if you've watched, that'll tell you. You know, Roger said something here last Sunday night that I couldn't get off my mind that he said. I thought about it. He said, for a young Christian that's really not founded in the faith, you better be careful what you look at and what you hear and what you read. You know, Jesus said one time while he was right here on the earth, he said it several times, be careful, little ears, what you hear.
Yeah.
And he said, be careful where you look. You know, that's what got Lot in the trouble that he got in down in Sodom. It said, but the things he heard and the conversations that he listened to and the things that he saw in Sodom vexed his soul.
Yeah.
I had a cousin fall out with me one time. I said, Lot was a righteous man. He said, well, what made you say that? I said, well, the Bible says so. The Bible said that he was a righteous man, and God called him out of that temptation. But his soul got vexed because he was looking and hearing things he had no business to have in his life, and it got him in trouble.
Yeah.
So then, people's having all these out-of-body experiences today. I thought about, I get a Christian book distributor catalog. It's got thousands and thousands. In fact, I bought hundreds of Bibles from that book. But in the pages of that book, the devil hides. He hides so he can go ahead and put his garbage in there, and that some young Christian might come along and see the title and stumble and buy that message. It's just like today in the church. The devil will try to hide in the church. He'll try to sneak in and hide in the church. Where better for him to work around God's people if he can sneak in amongst them and deceive them?
Yeah.
And so, there's a lot of things going on. Now, today, there's a new fad that's taken. Plus those that I mentioned about what people has always been caught up in, sensationalism. Now, there's another fad going on today, and I want to read some scripture here. And then I'm going to tell you what I think about the fad. There's one thing when you invite me to preach, when the pastor invites me to preach, I'm going to preach what the Lord lays on my heart. And if it's the truth, it's going to stand when this world is on fire. And so, you listen to the reading. I'm going to read from the 16th chapter of St. Luke. I'm going to begin at the 19th verse. There's three words in this scripture that I want to mention before I sit down. Okay, if you feel like standing, that's fine. That's something I probably never have practiced in my life, but it's great. And if you want to stand and reverence God's word, God will bless you for it. And so that's great. There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. He did good every day in his life. Things went his way. He was prosperous. There was another man in this story. He was a beggar. His name was Lazarus, and he was laid at his gate full of sores. Somebody had brought him and laid him at the gate of this rich man, and his body was full of sores. I thought about Job, how his body one time was full of sores. And desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table, moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. The dogs came and licked this beggar's sores. In other words, that's about the only friend that he had left was the dogs that came and comforted and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell, he lift up his eyes. That's one of the words I want to talk about today is lift. L-I-F-T. He lift up his eyes. Being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. There's another word I want to talk about a little today, flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember thou in thy lifetime receiveth thou thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And beside all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed. That's the other word I want to talk about today, fixed. So that they which could pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee, therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house. For I have five brethren, no girls mentioned here, but he knew for sure that the Bible's sure they had five brethren. Send it to my father's house. I have five brethren that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Abraham said unto him, they have Moses, the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, nay, Father Abraham, but if one went into them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. You can sit down now. I want to talk about this verse of Scripture for a little bit. There's a lot of things that's been revealed in this Scripture. You could spend months on it and never get all of it, but there's so much here. One thing is, I know in my lifetime I've had friends that died, and I would say, I wonder if they made it into heaven. Or I had a friend that was lost. Or never showed any signs of having Christianity. He'd die, and I'd say, I wonder if he was lost. Now, the only man actually that I know, that I can find anyway, that ever lived in heaven was Christ, the Son of God, who came here, gave his life on the cross, and went back to the Father. And I'm very well aware that Lazarus laid in the tomb for 4 days, I consider, before I expound what I want to say about this. I know there's been others raised from the dead. But regardless of what you read, sometimes, no matter how hard you pray, for some reason you just cannot understand it. I've come to the conclusion in my older time, when I started out, I thought I would be able to understand all the Bible, because I know it's not given with private interpretation. But there's some things about God we'll never find out, no matter how hard you try. Because God's ways, the Bible says, are past finding out. But there's some things we can know. We know for sure in this Scripture that this was a large family. We know in Scripture for sure that one of those boys died and he went to hell. We don't have to guess about it. Jesus said that he went to hell. So here's a family that lost a son that we know for sure that one died and went to hell. Okay. When I looked at this Scripture and I began to think about what I see going on today, I couldn't find the answers that I wanted until I read this Scripture. And then God revealed to me one Sunday morning, God revealed to me the truth about some of the myths that's going on. There's people today, listen close, because I'm not saying that you've been taken, but I'm saying the opportunity is coming that you can be taken by these false things that's going on today. There's people today that are saying that they went to hell and have come back. They've written books about it, because I saw the titles in my Christian book distributor magazine and catalogs. I saw the titles of those books where people said that they went to hell and came back. I also later found in there where a person said that he went to heaven and went to heaven and he came back. And so they're selling books by, I don't know how many, but they're selling books because there's a buyer for everything. And the devil hides, as I said, he hides in these pages hoping that some weak Christian or some unexperienced Christian or somebody will come along and buy that book that he can deceive them. And they're saying that. But I want to stand here in God's presence this morning, and I want to tell you that those stories are myth. Yeah. They're not true, and I'm going to endeavor to prove that to you this morning. Before I leave, you say, why do you want to prove it to us? Because some of your people may be caught up in that, or they may be begotten by that. And so I want to talk about it. First of all, you see in the 23rd verse, it said, in hell he lift up his eyes. You know, a lot of people don't pay close enough attention to the words that are in our Bible, that it came by inspiration. Children, this word was breathed upon men by the power of God.
Yeah,
the Holy Ghost inspired them to put those words there. You say, well, why didn't he put lifted? Lifted is past tense. He put it in there in present tense to show us that once you go, it is eternal suffering. That's what it's there. That's why God didn't make a misprint. Man's made a lot of misprints, Brother Jim. God didn't make no misprints. And he put that word in there so we'd know. He lift up his eyes. Did you know today, as sure as that rich man is in hell, his eyes are still being lifted. Because it's eternal. It's eternal. Let me tell you something. If you're here this morning, I'm not trying to scare you, but if you're here this morning and you've got any inclination or hopes that you can just live however you want to and die, that it's somewhere in the beyond, God's going to give you another opportunity, you're kidding yourself.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right.
You're kidding yourself. This thing, he is... His eyes are being lifted. He's looking up. He's still praying. But the problem with this man is he done went beyond the mercy of God. His sins has got him separated from the mercies of God forever. Forever. And then on down, here it said that he is, and I am tormented in this flame. You know why that God wanted the word flame put in there like that? I'm going to try to tell you why. He put it in there because hell is just exactly what God created to be from the beginning. He did not create it for man. He created for the devils and his angels. And people say he drank and killed himself to sent himself to hell. God never sent nobody to hell. Every person that ever went to hell went there by choice. Went there by choice. And so he said here in this scripture that it was a flame. I mean, to me, that means hell is just what it is. That don't leave me any room to say, well, something's going to go over here in this little bitty twinkling fire, and something's going to be in the bad fire, and somebody, and there's going to be some space in between, and then over here's another little fire over here going on, and people's going to have choices. Children, hell is what it is. It's an eternal flame, and those that reject God, that's where they're going to live eternally.
Yeah, amen.
That's another word that I don't use in the pulpit is spin. I put what I had in a little bucket. But if I've got 35 cents in my pocket, if I spend it, it's gone.
Yeah.
It's spent. But in hell, you're not going to spend your days. You're trapped there eternally, forever and ever. You die and die and never stop dying. It's eternal.
Yes, it is.
You're not going to spend up your time in hell. So, it's a flame. It's hell. It's what God said it was. And now I want to move on to the 26th verse. But here's what he said in reply to this rich man. And beside all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed. That isn't past tense. That's done.
Yeah.
God already took care of that. And it's written here in past tense. That gulf is fixed so that they which would pass from, other words, from you down there, cannot, neither can they pass from up here back to you. Children, that's what I want you to see this morning. My heart burns about these people that's got all these things to say. But I want you to know this morning, I'm not fighting any religion. I'm not fighting no theological beliefs that people have. I'm not fighting against that. But I'm telling you this morning in the presence of God, as a tree falls, so shall it be.
Amen.
That's what it says. Don't say it lie like a lot of people. As a tree falls, so shall it be. When a man leaves this world and he's rejected the grace of God Almighty and he has turned that away and rejected that and failed to accept the Lord and believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ, his state is fixed for all eternity. There is a gulf between him and mercy, and he can never find mercy. He's gone.
Amen.
He's lost.
Yeah.
He's lost. He's lost. So these people that's writing these books, trying to deceive our children, my 29 minutes in heaven, and my so many minutes in hell, and they write these, and then they come back and they try to describe what it's like. Children, I tell you what's the truth and the power of God this morning. They're just robbing people of their money. They're trying to degrade God of his mercy and his truth. And they're just trying to tear down Christianity and get money hiding behind a cross that they don't know anything about. And I want to say to you this morning, it's a myth. It's not the truth. When a man passes on, he passes through a gulf. There's a place of no return.
Amen. Yeah. That's right.
You know, I've told people, I believe my mother is in heaven. But if somebody said, do you know for a fact your mother's in heaven? I'd say, by faith, I believe my mother's in heaven. But to say that I know that, and that's why we ought to be very, very careful.
Yeah.
Very careful. And not put any false hopes in people. That's why that we need not tell people, well, if you don't get it in this life, maybe there's a place down there where God will heal you after a while, and he'll have mercy on you. I had a deacon called me one night on the telephone, and he said, Ken, I'm in bad shape. He said, I'm in terrible shape. He said, I can't accept the fact that good people go to hell. I can't accept the fact that a merciful God would create a place where people would have to go and suffer throughout all eternity. And I said, first of all, brother, I said, I didn't make the rules. God made the rules. But I said, if men go there, as I've already said, they went there with choice.
Yeah. Yeah.
They chose to go there because they rejected the blood that Jesus shed on the cross that they could have eternal life through him. So, this is not pretty. I know this is not pretty. It's me, but it's not pretty. This has always been my ministry. I've never tried to add and take away and try to cut corners and tell people that things are all right that are not. And they're writing all these books. They're writing these books because they want to make money. There's a lot of people that's trying to hide behind the cross of God, and they're telling that God did things for them, and God don't want no part of it. God don't want no part of it. It's like what Brother Larry said this morning. Sister's having a hard time finding a church. There's a lot of churches people are going. They're unhappy. You know why they're unhappy? Because they've got God locked outside the door and won't let him in. It's because they've got programs that they have to go by, and if they don't keep the program, they'll ruffle somebody's feathers. Children, I tell you this morning in the presence of God, thank God for a Bible-believing church that obeys the Spirit of God. God is Spirit, and accepts to worship him as worship him and Spirit and truth.
Yes.
Thank God for that this morning.
Amen.
People don't want to hear about hell. But it's a real place. There's more scripture about hell than there are heaven in the Bible. And you know who preached about hell more than anybody else that ever walked on this planet? Jesus Christ our Lord and Savior himself. In fact, these sermon I'm preaching here this morning is written in red. That means that it's the words of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And to deny these words, to deny these words this morning is to stand up in God's face and call him a barefaced liar.
Wow.
To deny these words and People's used every kind of gimmick. I've seen them since I was a little boy. I've told you about some of them. And they're still going on today. They'll go on. They'll go on. The devil's relentless. He'll never relent. He'll never relent. He will deceive and deceive and deceive. Did you know that in the Bible, there is a scripture that talks about being deceived? And it talks about believing a lie and being damned? And it also makes reference that if you want to believe a lie and be damned, God will help you out a little bit in that, if that's your heart's desire. So, listen to me this morning. It's an eternal flame. You don't have to go there. If you're saved, you're not going to go there. I can tell you that right now. You're not going to go there. It's a walk of faith. And I love that song that Sherry and Rob sing about faith. Every time they get finished, I say reality. After a while, children, we don't have to walk by faith no more. We're going to stand right in His presence.
Yes. Amen.
That place where people said the streets were paved in gold, I say they're solid gold. And I say that I'm going to walk on them one day. Brother, just by faith.
Amen.
Not be anything good that I ever done.
Yeah.
Not be anything good. I've probably done a lot worse in my life than that prodigal son that we were reading about. He got a little greedy and got his eyes on the world and went out. But folks, I tell you what's the truth. And I'll be the first one to admit it. I've never walked on water, don't expect to. But I do expect to fly out of here one of these days. I expect to go home to be with God one of these days. Not because I was a preacher or nothing like that. As far as that goes, what I've done, it was a gift that I could receive through the Lord Jesus Christ. And when I was 15 years old, I received it.
Yeah.
He gave it to me. Somebody said, "How do you know you got it?" Because I was right there on my knees praying when I received it.
Yes, amen.
Somebody said, "Well, you can't feel salvation." Let me tell you something. You can feel salvation. You can feel salvation from the top of your head to the bottom of your foot. If you could not feel your salvation, the cross would be a joke this morning.
Right. Amen.
So, let me say in my closing remarks, children, those myths are going around. Watch what your children's reading. When they ask you about it, take them to this scripture and tell them, this thing is fixed. Did you know that God saw the end of all this at the beginning?
Yeah.
You may not believe this, but I'd like to convince you of it. God, in eternity past, before He ever made this world, He saw you give your heart to Christ. You talk about election and people get all stiffed up. You talk about predestination and people get all stiffed up. But boy, there's a lot of things they don't have no problem expounding on. There's people that can expound on these things. But I'm going to tell you all these out-of-body experiences and these people writing these books, "I went to hell, I'll come back." I'd like to meet one of them fellas. What I'd like to ask him, what made you go to hell in the first place? What did you do? Can't go there unless you're lost.
Yeah.
Why'd you go there in the first place? But they say they went and came back. Children, there ain't no truth in that. There is no truth in that. Because the scripture here says, at that place is fixed, there is a gulf. When you pass through that gulf, whichever way you go, there's only two ways. Only two ways. You're going down the road of life, and somewhere in life you're going to come to a place where God will say, "Come unto me." He will give you an opportunity to believe and be saved.
Yeah.
Or you can turn it away. When you turn it away, you're walking the other way. Here's how I look at those two ways. Jesus talked about it. He said, "Broad is the way that leads to destruction, and wide is the gate, and many there be that go in thereat. But straight is the gate, and narrow is the way that leads to life everlasting, and few there be that find it." Here's the way I look at it. The devil's way, that broad way, it's full of lights, bars, dope houses. It's got everything in the world going on. They're screaming and having a big old time. But at the end of that way, there's a gate.
Yeah.
When you go through that gate, you're locked in eternally. This straight, narrow way, people don't want it.
They can't see in this great way what we can see, all the beauty and love, all the mercy and grace of God. But it don't look too pleasant to the world. But you just keep going down a hill and up a hill, and down a hill and up a hill, and through a valley and up a mountain. And one day, faith will end, and you'll open your eyes, and you'll be standing in the presence of God Almighty.
Amen. Yeah.
Life eternal.
Yeah.
Life eternal. The world's got a lot to offer people today, but there ain't nothing in the world that it's got to offer you will sustain you when you draw your last breath.
Yeah.
The only hope for the human race when they draw their last breath is to know that they've died dead to the love of sin and been made alive in Christ Jesus the Lord.
Amen.
So, I'm going to close. But that way is fixed. The Bible says that it's fixed. And there's a gulf fixed. And those down there can't come back here. Back there. Those up there. It's not going to pass into them. And he said if they want to accept. You know, that's why they're writing those books. They think they're going to win somebody to the Lord by telling a false thing that's false. And get people to believe that. That's why they're writing them books. They think they stumble over that scripture and didn't read it right. It says if they won't believe the prophets, Moses and the law, they wouldn't believe one though he rose from the dead. Children, I tell you what the truth is. People will not believe in the Lord Jesus Christ through the power of the preached gospel. The gospel is the power of God and the salvation to all who will believe it, to the Jew first and also the Greek. And children, there's no other name given under heaven whereby a man can be saved except through and by the blood of Jesus Christ, our Lord. So, I tell you what I'd like to do this morning. I'm an old-fashioned person, and I still remember things of the past. I'd like to do this. I'd like to Rob and Sharon to come and get a song. And I'd like for everybody that's got that good hope this morning and know that your name has been recorded in the Lamb's Book of Life. I'd like you to stand and acknowledge that. People will say, well, I don't know what to do, preacher. The Lord's never given me a talent to sing. I can't preach. I can't play a musical instrument. I tell you what you can do. You can stand up on your feet and give your vote that you love God and you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and He is your Savior. I guess that fits somewhere in that fold of 30. Bring forth fruits. We can stand on our feet and acknowledge God, and the Bible even teaches that. When you've done what you can do, then stand. Stand for the Lord. So I'd like to have an old-fashioned handshake this morning. I'd love to shake your hand. And I've always said this. You might say to me, preacher, I don't like the way you preach. But I'll tell you what. You're not going to change that. And you might say, I don't like you. And I'll tell you something else you can't change. You can't change me loving you. I can love you. And there ain't a thing you can do about it. Right? Can't do nothing about it. So I do love this place. I love you people. Yes. You're kind. Show a lot of love. Yes. And I tell you what, it's not the sayer of the word. It's the doer of the word.
Amen.
So I'm thankful for that. So I want us just to mix and make a little friend shake hands. Just reaffirm to God, to ourselves, and to our brothers in Christ, that we do love this old time way.
Yeah.
If I didn't think that I was walking in the Lord's church, if I didn't believe that this was the truth, sister, I'd take this thing and I'd pitch it in a garbage can and I'd go find me something that would make my soul rejoice. But I know, because I know by what I feel, by what God said, that I can walk in His way, and His way is a good way. So I'm glad this morning, and I thank the Lord for every one of you. I hope that you receive that seed thought that will cause you to study the Bible a little more. So I love you. Let's have a song. Let's shake hands. If you feel like doing something for the Lord this morning, then you need to do it. If you need to come and pray, you need to do it. If you're lost this morning, I would encourage you with
every feeling of my heart to come up here and seek the Lord, or even seek Him where you're at. Seek Him where you're at. Fall down and say, Lord, have mercy on me, I'm all sinner. Save me, God, before it's everlasting too late. You will come to God with your heart broken. You will come to God in sincerity and truth. God will not turn you away. God will not turn away an honest heart. I thank the Lord for this morning. I thank the Lord for you. Go ahead and sing, brother. So let's all fellowship. Follow the Lord. And God.